You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert. Rob Ferret is out today. The recent Amtrak derailment has put the state of America's transportation infrastructure into the spotlight and raises some questions. By way of comparison, the Eurostar train can reach 200 miles an hour and carry customers from London to France in about 2 hours. It takes Amtrak 7 hours to cover a similar distance. And when it comes to roads, according to the Federal Highway Administration, 1 in 9 U.S. bridges is unsound. In terms of overall quality of infrastructure, the U.S. is ranked 25th globally. So why isn't America among the world's richest nations higher up on that list? With us now is Rod Diridon, Emeritus Executive Director of the Mineta Transportation Institute. He provides legislative testimony on sustainable transportation issues and is regarded by many as the father of modern transit service in Silicon Valley. Rod, welcome to Central Time.
Nice to be here, Veronica.
So let's start with the question about why the U.S. is not putting more money and emphasis on its transportation infrastructure these days.
Veronica, the old saying is that you get what you pay for. And in the United States, we haven't been paying our transportation bills since the 1950s, 60s, and 70s. We've been living on the investments of the post-World War II generations and have just been skimping ever since. Our gas tax is a fraction of the European gas tax, which is dollars per gallon, where ours is pennies per gallon. And you get what you pay for. You mentioned the high-speed train in Europe. 30 countries have high-speed trains that will make 300 kilometers, almost 200 miles per hour average speed. Every industrialized country except the United States. Our bridges are falling apart. Our highways are potholed. We have serious congestion. And we're losing the geoeconomic competition because we can't get people to work, and product to the marketplace.
Now, you mentioned that we're living off the investments of the 1950s, 60s, and 70s, suggesting that in those decades there was more investment in infrastructure here in America. What changed?
We had been increasing the gas tax periodically during that period, and we were using more gallonage. Remember, the gas tax is on a gallon of gas, it's not a sales tax on dollars, it's on gallons. Well, we're using less gasoline now because we have more economical cars. We have electric cars, and so we're using a lot less gallonage, and we haven't increased the gas tax since the early 1990s. So we're way behind in terms of revenue for transportation investments, way behind the rest of the world.
Now, you mentioned that we're behind the rest of the world, 25th on that list in terms of overall quality of infrastructure globally. How does the United States compare in terms of what offerings are there and the soundness of infrastructure?
Well, as that research shows, we're considered a third world country when it comes to overall transportation infrastructure. Our systems are falling apart. We don't have the money to even repair them, let alone expand them to meet new capacity requirements. And it's because we haven't invested in our infrastructure for decades. The last time we had a decent highway trust fund and highway infrastructure bill was in 1991. Since then, we've been treading water, and now Congress is approving a short-term extension again, with no additional increase in funding. Well, we're getting what we pay for, and we're falling behind the world in terms of competing in the international marketplace.
So let's talk about that Highway Trust Fund. As I understand it, it funds about a third of highway projects. So why is it usually operating, it seems, in the red?
Well, it's because it's funded by the gas tax, and at the federal level, the gas tax hasn't been increased significantly since the early 1990s. And it's time now. We have to have a significant increase in the gas tax, or Congress needs to show the courage to have other kinds of revenue invested in transportation. For example, cap and trade funds, which should be invested in programs to reduce global warming and climate change. Well, high-speed rail, mass transportation are fine investments for cap and trade funds, but they haven't been invested in those areas. Another investment opportunity would be the repatriation of profits of American companies held overseas. They won't bring those profits back to the United States because of corporate taxes. Well, they ought to be paying the corporate taxes, but since they won't, maybe we can reduce the corporate taxes. Let them bring those funds back and reduce tax rates and put those taxes into our transportation infrastructure. There are several good ideas, but we can't get agreement from Congress to approve a reauthorization bill for our Surface Transportation Act.
Now, raising taxes is never a sure thing, not always a popular decision, even in the best of times, let alone during, you know, shaky economic recovery times. But what sort of support or resistance have you seen to maybe something as simple as raising the gas tax?
Well, remember that the gas tax, in terms of real cost, has gone way down over the last 2 decades compared to other costs. The percentage of our household investment in gas taxes is a fraction of what it was in the early 1990s or in the 1980s. So in increasing it by 10, 15 cents, which polls say the public will support if it goes to transportation infrastructure, increasing it that amount would help a tremendous amount. And it would be barely noticeable as the price of gas goes up and down by 50 cents to a dollar over a short period of time.
We're talking right now with Rod Dearden with the Mereda Transportation Institute, and we're talking about the state of infrastructure here in the United States and how the recent Amtrak accident seems to highlight the need for reinvestment in infrastructure, you know, 1 in 9 bridges unsound. What are the costs if we don't take action to improve some of the infrastructure that seems to be failing right now, Rod?
Veronica, the obvious cost that you just referred to is in human life. And there are people dead now because Amtrak did not have the money to install positive train control. They installed partly, but they didn't have enough money to complete it, and they didn't have the radio waves to carry the frequencies to stop the train. So the train was going twice the speed it should have been going through that curve. Now, it isn't an issue as to what the driver was doing. Driver obviously was doing something wrong. But the issue is that sometimes operators make mistakes. And the rest of the world, when an operator makes a mistake, positive train control takes over and corrects that mistake by not letting the train go faster than is safe in a certain circumstance. We don't have it in the United States. And that's an example of an investment that should have been accomplished a long time ago in order to protect people's life in the United States. The same thing with our bridges that are deteriorated. Same thing with the roadway systems that are not up to standard. The same thing with our transportation elements that are not being improved as technology would allow us to improve them to become even safer and carry more people without the terrible congestion we have every morning. So we're falling behind now. And unless we invest to keep up with the rest of the world, we're going to be left behind in terms of geoeconomic competition because, as Alan Greenspan told us 3 decades ago, the country that wins the geoeconomic competition is the country that gets people to work and product to the marketplace most efficiently. And we're way down now in the 20th, almost 30th in the world, which is way lower than the other industrialized countries.
Well, let's take that economic argument. Can you make the case that it's not just a case of needing money to spend on infrastructure, but that it helps the economy, that you have more people riding trains, you have businesses using roads and manufacturers, you have importer-exporter goods moving out of airports more efficiently? Is improving infrastructure not just good for saving lives, but is it good for the economy?
That's the point. That is absolutely the irrefutable point. As our highways, and it's worse in the areas that have good commercial viability, like Silicon Valley or Chicago or Los Angeles or New York, those areas are facing what's called terminal gridlock now because their commuter traffic's meeting in the middle of the day and you just can't get to work anymore in a reliable period of time. Now, those areas need to have alternatives. They need to have the bottleneck removed on their highway system, and they need to have their mass transportation systems and freight railroads improved so that they can move people and product more efficiently. But we're not doing it. Congress has to take the load there. They have to shoulder the primary load there, and they have to pass a reauthorization bill for the Surface Transportation Act. They haven't done that in many, many years. It has to be done now, or we will fall out of the first tier of countries in terms of economic viability in the world. We talk about China beating us. China has beaten us. They're going to leave us in the dust.
And we leave it there. Ron, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Veronica. Thanks for taking up the issue. It's terribly important.
That was Rod Diridon, Emeritus Executive Director of the Mineta Transportation Institute. I'm Veronica Rickert. Rob Ferret is out today. This is Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.